Are you struggling with neuropathy, that painful numbness in your feet, that squishing feeling, those lightning bolts of pain, perhaps in your ankles and other joints and extremities? Hi, this is Marty Terrell for InnovativeWellness.Center in Clive, Iowa. Christy Steiger, InnovativeWellness.Center. Reach out to Christy and her professional staff if you are struggling with neuropathy like I do. They have turned it around. They haven't reversed it all, but they have attacked it and done it professionally and effectively at a very fair and reasonable price. Avoid the $49 come-on ads in the chiropractic industry. They do not work. And in the end, you'll spend thousands of dollars chasing what is virtually impossible to reverse. Innovative Wellness Center. Elevate your well-being. Give them a call at 515-355-3200. InnovativeWellness.Center. At 515-355-3200.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe.
Hello, friends. We'll see about that. Mike Gary sitting in for the great Ron Say, the legend. He is out on assignment, and we're going to bring you a fantastic interview we did earlier this year, because I think it's super important. And I'm joined by producer Corey. Corey, how are you?
Doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. Corey, arm injuries. 38 pitchers so far this year in the Major League Baseball have suffered arm injuries, specifically elbow injuries, resulting in Tommy John surgery. There's been a lot of commentary by both current players and ex-players saying that this has to do with analytics. That's people have become slaves to the gun, especially in the minor leagues, where velocity is the most important thing in pitching. Greg Maddux spoke up, the great over 300 games, won 326, I want to say. He says that it's all about the lack of guile, that players are relying too much on strength rather than actual, you know, guile and using the head. What are your thoughts about that, Corey?
I think it. You said minor league. I think also even in high school, these people are just trying to hit 90 before they graduate, and the human body can't hold up at that age while it's still learning and progressing and growing.
Well, you and I spoke about something off the air about the lack of, I would say, a varied approach to sports growing up. That there's too much specialization. That nowadays, like I'm thinking of my nephew, for example. He loves soccer. He's all about soccer, and that's the only sport he plays. He doesn't play baseball during baseball season or basketball during basketball season. He is soccer year-round, and I really worry what that's going to do to him, not only, you know, because it's great to have different experiences, life experiences as a child, but also will this affect him, maybe his health moving forward?
I think 100% it will, because different sports access different parts of the body and different muscle groups and strengthen different tendons and ligaments and bone structures. So taking away certain things, soccer has many movements, but there you could play basketball for jump. You are jumping in soccer, but there's things that you can do in other sports that could help you. And even mentally, you can learn things from other sports that you can relate to the game that you truly love and want to succeed the most in.
Yeah, I'm specifically worried for my nephew when it comes to headers, because we've seen actually some scholarly research on what the headers can do, heading the ball in soccer, perhaps being linked to issues with concussion. So, but this baseball issue with arms is going to stick around for a while. And so we have a great interview with Jim Kernel. He's a scientist. He's a former major league pitcher himself who had arm problems and has dedicated his career to identifying those throwing motions that can lead to injuries. So stick around. We'll be right back. We'll see about that. Mike Gary sitting in for the great Ron Say.
Hey out there, are you suffering with heartburn? Can't eat the foods you used to love to eat? Do you miss going out to eat with your friends? Well, Balance 7 is the way back to eating the foods you used to enjoy. All the ingredients have been approved to be used in most foods by the FDA. Balance 7 is not a drug. It's all natural. When you order Balance 7, it will give you what you need. In just 3 days, you'll feel such a wonderful difference. So don't be stubborn. With a 100% money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Go to Balance7.com. That's Balance7.com. Balance, B-A-L-A-N-C-E, the number 7.com, or call 800-793-9039. 800-793-9039, or go to Balance7.com.
Balance 7 unlocks your body's health.
Go to Balance 7, the number 7.com, and change your life for the better. For $10 off and free shipping, use the code word L.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free gift. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Feeling sluggish? Have brain fog? Wishing you had more energy? Well, there's a new science-backed solution that's just what you need. It's Gresca's Carbon 60. It's like a tiny Pac-Man for your cells, gobbling up free radicals that damage your body and brain. C60 has been shown to boost your energy levels, increase cognitive health and brain function, and work at the cellular level. Experience the improvements for yourself. Visit www.c-60.com. That's c-60.com. Gresca's Carbon 60. Take control of your health and feel the difference. Call anytime at 720-600-6040, 720-600-6040, or visit c-60.com and read our testimonials. c-60.com.
Hey there, sports fans. Ron Say. Are you ready to score big with fresh, healthy eats? Well, our friends at Melissa's Produce have got you covered. Whether you're gearing up for the big game or just living that active lifestyle, Melissa's fresh produce box delivers the winning nutrition you need. And here's the MVP move. Visit Melissa's.com today and use the promo code RONSAY to save 15% on your first order. Don't miss out on the home run deal. Fuel your passion for sports and good eats with Melissa's Produce. That's Melissa's.com, promo code RONSAY for the freshest game day fuel around.
They still call me the Penguin.
Okay, we have returned after the break, and our guest today, Jim Kernel, will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is the proud partner of We'll See About That. Be sure to use my VIP code RONSAY while checking out at melissas.com. Our guest today is a former professional player who had a bright career in front of him, and had an arm injury that took his career away from him. And since then, he has dedicated over 20 years of trying to have a better fundamental, a more healthier way of trying to pitch, and has done that through videos. He's currently on the Alpha Zone. We have a player that really feels like he's got something to offer. And with the experience and the number of technical studies that he's done on it, we're very pleased to have Jim Kernel with us today. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
So how did all of this get started? Tell us the route that took place from the arm injury to, you know, you wanting to help younger people have a healthier weight of throwing the baseball.
Not to belabor the point about the baseball career, but I had a pretty successful start. I won 14 of my first 17 games. But it was kind of interesting back then. I had an issue where I was opening up too quickly, and I threw fairly hard. I was clocked in the low 90s. I pitched in the low 90s, was clocked at 94, could never figure out back then how to keep my shoulder closed. All anybody would say to me was, you got to keep your shoulder closed. Right now, fast forward to today, I would say, okay, let's break down the motion. This is what's causing your shoulder to open up. These are the adjustments you need to make to keep your shoulder closed. But as successful as my career was, I always tell people that if I didn't get injured, I never would have married my wife and had two wonderful children. So I look at it as a great trade-off. But going forward, I'll skip my business career. I started coaching about 15 years ago, and I coached three sports at the local high schools. I coached football, basketball, and baseball. And what led me to this was not so much my injury, but working with athletes. And I'd work with a lot of athletes individually, and also in practice instruction. And whether it was albeit basketball players or football players, quarterbacks, I worked with a lot of quarterbacks or pitchers, I began to see that I was teaching pitchers how to throw the baseball athletically. because no matter what athlete I worked with, whether it was a cornerback or a quarterback, I worked with a lot of basketball players to teach them how to shoot correctly. And I was teaching them to move athletically and to create energy from the ground up to transfer to their ball, their arm, or whatever they need to do athletically. So I come one day, said, gee, this is what I'm doing with pitchers. So this was at least about 7-8 years ago as I kind of began to formulate this idea in my mind. So then I kind of put pen to paper, as my wife always tells me to do, and I came up with a script. And it sat for a year or two. I showed it to some people, and I go, gee, that's interesting. And then one day I said, I'm going to video this. I'm going to create a video series. So I worked with a graphic arts designer and video producer locally, and we started with 20 minutes of film. I took a local neighbor's son who was a 14-year-old pitcher who had a terrible throwing motion, and I said, I'm going to work with him in a video, and I created a 20-minute video. Well, that morphed into a 5-segment series called The Athletic Pitcher, which I'll be selling in a couple of weeks, which was broken down into different segments, which I don't need to go into now. So that kind of progressed to my interest in looking at pitchers. And I saw a commonality of high school pitchers as far as how they threw. And I also began to see commonality in their injuries. So I said, okay, let me check and see what's going on with professional baseball pitchers. So kind of as a cottage industry, I started writing teams. I wrote the Yankees about Severino and Montgomery about a year before they had Tommy John surgery. I wrote the Mets about Syndergaard. I wrote the Red Sox about Sale. A couple others, right? Obviously, never expecting a response, but it kept the left side of the brain working. And I said to myself, I've seen this on the high school level. I've had pitchers who I've worked with who said no thank you and walked away, and they had Tommy John surgery. And their throwing motions were identical to what I saw at that time. So I said, I'm going to give this a shot. So then that morphed into more research and researching minor league pitchers and college pitchers and professional pitchers. And I've probably evaluated over the last 4 years, I did have a lot of time during COVID, probably 550 injured major league pitchers. Because I wanted to look at the commonality, and I wanted to see from an elbow, a shoulder, lat, oblique, Tommy John surgery, what was the common denominator? Because I felt, and I feel now in talking about youth pitching, that it's really significant as far as how you throw the baseball. And that's really the premise of the foundation that I've been working with when I work with young pitchers and convince them that there's a lot of parts of this puzzle and a lot of factors play into your injury or performance. But I believe it all starts with the foundation. And to me, the foundation is how you throw the baseball, because that's the beginning piece of the puzzle that helps you mitigate or will help you mitigate injury. There's no cure. As we talk, Ron, baseball is as many people have said, is the most violent motion in sports, any athletic motion. So my feeling is that what can we do to mitigate the risk of injury? And I feel that what's not being looked at the major league level or the minor league level, or even the studies I've done on the collegiate level, it needs to be looked at the youth level, especially with high school pitchers.
My question to you is, you remember back in the time that you and I were playing, because there's not too many years that we're separated there. We overlap. we didn't have much video. And that was new to everybody. Do you think that possibly would have helped you to have some video back in that time to see what you were doing wrong? And also, I want to bring in Tom House. Have you read anything of the nature of that Tom House was doing when he was playing with throwing the football? And how does that relate to anything?
Two good questions. One is tremendously. If I had seen the way I pitched, right, because I use video all the time as a teaching tool, and teachers – everybody uses video, because if you're looking to create a learning process with the pupil, the student, they need to see, not only be told what they're doing wrong, they need to see what they're doing incorrectly. So if I had seen how I was throwing, I could have then, if without further instruction, put the pieces of the puzzle together, right? No doubt whatsoever. I never saw myself throw a baseball. And as with anybody else in that era. Number two is, I can relate to the Tom House statement or issue that you were speaking to, because I played quarterback in high school. and I could throw the football a little bit. I could throw about 75 yards. As an anecdote, my good friend who coached high school football said, if I was playing quarterback today, I'd throw for $4,500 in my sleep. But that's a separate conversation. But I've done a lot of studies, and part of my studies is comparing the kinetic timing of pitchers versus every other athlete in the universe. And I do a lot of work, and I do a lot of study of quarterbacks. And I just videotaped the four quarterbacks in the playoffs this past year. And I can tell you firsthand that if I was able to throw a baseball with the same kinetic timing as I threw a football with the same kinetic timing and phase movements, I wouldn't have had an arm injury. And that's also, you know, I have many questions about this as I've talked to people. I'm not being a prophet here. All my research and all the work I've done has led me to ask a lot of questions, and I haven't gotten any answers. But to me, the kinetic timing that's used with an NFL collegiate quarterback that creates energy from the ground up is not being used by professional major league, minor league, and even collegiate pitchers. And my question is, why not? Because I do not understand that. I don't understand that. It's logic and common sense to me that if I have to throw a post pattern 45 yards on a dime, and I have to, when announcers or anybody talks about a quarterback, they talk about his feet. What they mean is that he's moved his feet and he's stepping to the target to throw the football to create maximum energy and maximum accuracy. So if a quarterback can do that or needs to do that, throwing a ball 120 feet, then I don't understand why a pitcher shouldn't do that or doesn't need to do that, throwing a baseball 60 feet.
Okay, we've heard it from Jim Kernel. We have a new break to take, and we will be right back after this break in the action. Thank you for joining us.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair, when you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. Okay, we have returned after the break, and we are with our special guest, Jim Kernel. And Jim, if you remember, I asked you for some bullet points that you'd like to discuss, and I want to get into that right away. Let's start with the velocity myth.
Yeah, that's one of the things I in researching and working with pitchers. I'm extremely concerned about as far as what they're being sold, what they see, what they read, right? And it's based upon this, I'll call it, not call, scientific fact that with the technology and the evolution of the radar gun that clocks velocity, it started closer to the plate when we were playing, and now it's being clocked out of the hand. And without getting into a long, detailed explanation about it, but people can go to Baseball America or other sites, and there was kind of a evolution of guns from, you know, the speed gun to the Stalker to Stalker 2 to Pitch FX and eventually to Snotcast. And when they started tracking the baseball, and I remember when I was pitching, you'd have people, you know, scouts and shooting a gun and we're shooting at the plate. So whether it was clocked crossing the plate, 5 feet in front of the plate, 10 feet in the front of the plate, I'm not going to argue that. But eventually it got to closer to the pitcher's hand, and eventually now it's out of the hand. So scientifically, it is a fact that pitchers today, if you read the headline, Jordan Hicks throws 101, XYZ throws 102, et cetera, that's true. But it, what the reality is, then the only comparison people have is that they go, wow, he throws 5 to 6 miles an hour harder than Bob Gibson and Steve Carlton. And I'm going, no, that's not true. Because if those pitchers towed the rubber, if Jordan Hicks towed the rubber against Steve Carlton, he would be clocked at somewhere between 91 to 93, because the science says 7 to 9%, right? If you want to be conservative and go 5 to 6%, well, then he'd be throwing somewhere between 90, 94, 95. And I believe that's still not as hard as Steve Carlton threw. So that's part of the issue. So what happens is that now, I see it all the time. Just a couple of quick anecdotal stories, because I've worked with a lot of pitchers and obviously got to know their parents and that. I ran into a mother of a pitcher in town, and I had worked with her son a couple of years ago. And he just left for school. And I rolled down the window and said, hey, how's John doing? And she goes, great, he threw 92 yesterday. Now, I wasn't asking about his velocity. I didn't care about his velocity. I never talked with him about velocity. I was asking if he liked his professors, had a girlfriend, or liked the food, right? So my response is, okay, where did this mother, who's a woman, who's a very nice young lady, get this information from? Why is velocity so important to her, right? And there's many others. But to the point, now when you go and to showcases, or when you're working with young men, or you hear about them, and people come up to me, or parents come up and say, hey, Joe's throwing 88, Joe's throwing 92, Joe's throwing 94. And one parent, I said to the father, I go, does he have a changeup? And he said, no. And that conversation ended right there. So the issue is that this perpetuating of this myth, and I assume it's done because 100 is a sexy sizzle. If they came up and said Jordan Hicks is really only throwing 94, it doesn't sell the newspapers and doesn't sell the article. But it's a great injustice to youth pitchers who are now chasing that golden ticket. And the other part of this, which is just as important, we've talked about, it's flipped the pitching paradigm upside down. Because if you talk to anybody who knows anything about pitching, the tenets are in this order. It's command, it's change of speed, it's movement, and it's velocity. If you want to be a successful pitcher, this velocity myth has flipped this, where it's how hard can I throw the baseball? And I'll give you one quick story about that. I do motion study programs. I've been doing that for the last couple of years. And I take 15 to 20 pitchers. They all throw the same. I know exactly what I'm looking for. And it's kind of a Pygmalion or My Fair Lady project, where I bring them in, I talk to the parents and say, listen, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be a 4-week program, okay? We're going to work twice a week in groups of two. And then if you want to continue, we'll work and do private lessons down the road. I said, it's $85. I give all the money to charity, okay? Before this starts, though, I line them up, and each session, And I go, we're going to have a little test. Okay. I haven't taught him anything. I haven't said anything. I said, we're going to throw 20 to 25 pitches. We're going to throw 3-4 fastballs down the middle. Then you're going to work in the hands. You're going to work low and away. Now I want you to throw a couple of curveballs for strikes. Okay. Say it's a 2-0 count. You got to get back and you don't want to throw a fastball. And then we're going to throw some changeups. Okay. I'm sorry. We're going to throw some curveballs low and away. You want to expand the strike zone. It's 0-2. Then we throw some changeups. So it's about 20, 25 pitches. I'm telling you that out of the 45 or 50 pitchers that I've worked with in these motion studies, nobody's gotten a strike ratio of higher than 20%. I've had some that have thrown 25 pitches that have not thrown a strike. Okay, but all they want to do, and I had one kid who was trying to throw the ball through the wall like he was Bob Gibson, and he was an obstinate kid, so I just said, okay, let him go. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
It reminds me of the time when I was growing up when you tried to gauge the players that you haven't seen when you're 10, 12 years old. You know, what's their batting average? Like, that was the most important thing. What is your best player's batting average? Which today doesn't amount to much. So there is a reference to throwing. You know, the lady comes in out of the parking lot and says, "My son's throwing 92." I get it. It's not that important. And so where can you sound like you've really got this under control? Where can people find you? How can you get this thing spread to where they're actually getting some really high quality stuff from you?
Well, the website I'm going to open up in a week or so is called the athleticpitcherseries.com. And on that website, there's an opportunity to purchase the video series. And then I've also created a video, actually a program called Tap Into Tap. That's kind of the video series is kind of a educational tool. Tap Into Tap is an instructional tool because it's all click on baseballs with short videos, mirror drills, et cetera, that you could take on the go and take with you. And then I have online instruction that I will be offering because I have an app that offers me the opportunity to annotate a video with voiceover. So a young pitcher can send me a video and I could basically send him a video back that explains exactly what he's doing wrong, how he needs to correct it, the drills to correct it, with a voiceover, so he's getting a full lesson. So I'm doing that for the sole purpose of trying to educate, and not from a pontifical standpoint, but to make young hurlers, young pitchers aware that there's an opportunity for them to. The athletic pitcher is basically the tagline is improving health, improving performance, and that's pretty much in a nutshell.
Well, that sounds like a terrific tool that you're making available to these people. I hope certainly that they take advantage of that. I wanted to get into another segment of your bullet points, the training with weighted balls and long tossing and, you know, helpful, hurtful, whatever.
Let's start with everybody. More is always more. I'm sorry. More people always think more is always better. I apologize. And most often more is always more. And I think it applies to both long toss and applies to both weighted balls. And I will make this analogy. I don't know of any professional basketball player that I've ever heard of that to be a more proficient three-point shooter gets a weighted basketball and starts chucking it up. From beyond the three-point line. Nor have I heard any quarterback, nor have I worked with any quarterbacks and had them throw a weighted ball. Okay. So I'm going to couple that with the fact that 99.9% of the throwing motions that I've seen in young pitchers are horrendous. And I always use the term, I wouldn't let the pitchers I work with throw a ping pong ball with these motions. We play catch, and until they learn how to create this timing, I don't even put them on a mound, okay? So you're looking at two factors here. One is I don't understand the actual medical reason for it. And number two is now you're asking somebody to throw a weighted ball against the wall with a throwing motion that's improper that already is putting extra stress on their arm. Now you're adding a weighted ball to that, okay? I never even dreamed of throwing a weighted ball when I was pitching. Okay. And I threw fairly hard. I never heard of anybody throwing a weighted ball. So I don't understand that. I'd like somebody to explain it to me. But from a common sense standpoint, to me, it makes no sense whatsoever. The long toss And I remember talking to Jim Cott about this. The only time I'd long toss was when I was loosening up the second day I pitched to throw a bullpen or throw a batting practice. And I wound up throwing batting practice twice, and then they kicked me off because I wasn't going to throw strikes. I was going to throw pitches that I wanted to throw, and the hitter said, get out of here. So anyway, long story short,
I know how that works.
So I figured, hey, if I'm on the mound, I want to get the most out of this. I don't care about the hitters. Okay?
Exactly. And we don't want you out there.
No, you don't want me on the mound. No. So long story short, I would throw, but I wasn't throwing the ball. Like I said, I could throw a football 75 yards, so I'm sure I could throw a baseball pretty far, right? But there was no reason for me to do that because I was throwing a baseball 60 feet.
Right.
So here's what I don't understand about this. We're so concerned about the pitcher's arm health, okay? We have pitch counts, most of them are in the showers after five innings. But yet, before the game or in between starts, you'll have your pitchers, and this could be at any level, chucking the baseball as far as you can. The long toss to warm up, right? And I've always said to my athletes that I've worked with or teams that I work with is I create a pregame warm-up, okay? Because this is what I always saw. This is the warm-up I would see with high school pitchers. They go to the bullpen, they do about 150 bands as fast as they could, then they would long toss, stretching it out behind the mound for a good 10 or 15 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, right? And then throw in the bullpen another 40, 50, 60 pitches. That's the warm up for the game. So I changed that and said, you know what? We're going to do a metabolic warm up, okay? While the visiting team's here, you're going to run some sprints. You're going to do some dynamic stretching. You're going to do some static stretching. You're going to do a metabolic warm up. If you're concerned, not only warm up properly, but I'm concerned about your arm health. You want to warm up to throw, not throw to warm up.
Okay, Jim, we're going to have to hold you right there. We've got to take a short break. We'll be right back up to this.
Okay, Kohl's has some epic deals right now that are perfect for early summer prep, and I need to talk about it. I just went and found my entire family tees under $8 and sandals under $30. Not to mention new patio essentials for 30% off, plus iron Kohl's cash. So don't wait. If you want great brands and great prices for a great summer, you got to get to Kohl's. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Attention landowners. Got big plans for your land? Tackle all your spring projects with a powerful John Deere machine. And now with 0% APR for 72 months on select compact tractors, riding lawnmowers, and Gator utility vehicles, plus up to $2,000 off select compact tractors. It's never been easier to get in the sea. Offer available April 1st through 30th. Visit johndeere.com to find your local dealer. For complete finance details, please call toll-free 1-800-226-8903.
Tyler from Wendy's here. The best part of Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart is every part. Unlike mornings, which have no good parts, until now. Because with Wendy's new breakfast Cinnabon Pull-Apart, mornings finally don't completely suck. And now that mornings have warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough and ooey gooey frosting, are they the best part of every day? Probably not, but you get the idea. Get to Wendy's today and get the best part in every bite with the new Cinnabon Pull-Apart.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Cinnabon is a registered trademark of Cinnabon franchisor SPD LLC.
Progressive presents Flo and Jamie announcing a monster truck rally.
And here comes the obliterator.
Whoa, and he's up on two wheels. That can't be safe.
Oh, I don't recommend flipping your car backwards.
Did he even check his blind spot?
And the car's on fire.
I definitely don't recommend that.
This is one of my recurring nightmares.
Progressive is all about keeping it safe, so bundle your home and auto for 24/7 protection. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Coverage not provided for monster trucks. Not available in all states.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And welcome back. We'll see about that. Thank you so much for joining us here. This day in Dodger history, 2015, the Dodgers confirmed Clayton Kershaw's record-breaking $215 million deal, seven-year contract, the largest deal ever given to a pitcher. The two-time National League Cy Young Award winner, who will earn $30.7 million annually. Remember when $215 million seemed like a big contract? Now we have them pretty much tripled.
It sure did, and it looks like they got their money's worth, and we still do not know whether Clayton's going to be returning, so I suppose that is going to be news in the next month or so. I have to do a quick read here. My new book, Penguin Power, is available now on the website, theronsayshow.com. Get your autographed copy here today. Okay, Jim, we are back, and we had a lengthy discussion about that. We also want to get back to the analytics today and how that possibly fits into your educational work with them.
Yeah, I think that's a twofold conversation. One is obviously we know there's a lot of people that are not happy about that. It's making the game a little more black and white and more statistic oriented, right? But as with the velocity, right, that has already taken over youth pitching as far as being able to translate, trickle down into that world. Spin rate starting to do that. I'm sure they're all going to start trickling down. But what I don't understand is that because I decided to do some research and I looked into spin rate, I looked into whip, I looked into war, some of these statistics, right? I wanted to see what they represented because it seemed like people were hanging their hats, especially on spin rate. Because if I ever turned on MLB.com or read an article, I've read a lot of scouting reports about college and prospects that I've evaluated regarding the throwing motion. I always wanted to see what the scouts were talking about. Okay. Always spin rate and velocity, never about how they threw the baseball. That's once again, separate conversation. So I said, okay, what is spin rate really? What does it represent? So number one, you have to start with it's a curveball spin rate of 26 revolutions per minute, right? I go, wow, that's pretty high. And I go, well, that's per minute. A baseball doesn't travel for a minute. It travels 60 feet. And I researched that and was somewhere between 0.4 to 4.0. 0.6 seconds. So what's half a second, right? So that translates into what? 15, 16, 17, 18 rotations, whatever the number may be. It's not that important. What I found out though, because when I did a spin rate analysis, okay, if I looked at the spin rate, I took six pitches, fastball, curveball, slider, cutter, change, and sweeper. And I took the top 40 spin rates in each of those pitches off of Baseball Savant. And what I saw was when I took the spin rate of the number one pitcher for each pitch, and I took the number 40 spin rate, and I actually translated into 60 feet and what that meant for the 1 to 15th pitcher in any of those categories, it meant maybe one or two revolutions more per the plate. For between 1 and 40 was 3 to 4. So I'm looking and going, I pitch a little bit, I teach a little bit. And I'm going, is it really that important that pitcher A has two more revolutions on his curveball than pitcher B, right? Number one. Number two is whatever that spin rate is, it's an average, right? So I pitched enough and I work with enough pitchers. Does he have the same spin rate in the eighth inning with the bases loaded and the game tied as he does in the second inning with nobody on and the eighth hitter up? Okay. My guess is probably not. But that comes into value in your performance on the field. So once again, the question is for all these writers and all the pundits and all the experts who value spin rate, to me, value it tremendously. I don't see how it translates that significantly into the performance on the field and the value of the pitcher. It's part of the equation. If I have a good spin rate on my curveball, well, yeah, I have some DNA and I'm there. I have a good start. But can I get it over? Do I have command? Am I going to get hurt? Am I going to be in the IL? You know, all these pitchers, they talk about spin rate. I saw this session on MLB about Dustin May and his great spin rate and his curveball. Well, he had Tommy John surgery, he had elbow surgery last year. and they had a picture of him up on the screen. And I wrote the Dodgers 2 years ago, part of my cottage industry, and said, you got trouble here, right? And I'm going, no announcer would say, by the way, you know, he's got a really good spin rate, but he's going to have some trouble with that throwing motion. I know that's not going to happen, but to me, that's a big part of the equation. You know, spin rate helping on the IL. So that's one thing. Two is the same thing. I looked at whip, right? I don't think they place as much emphasis on whip as they do spin rate, but you certainly hear enough about that pitcher's whip, right?
Correct.
So I said, let me look at the top 40 ERA pitchers this past year. And I looked at their whip rate, took it right from 1 to 40. The difference between the number one starter and the number 40 starter was a difference of about 2.5 runs per game, okay? The difference was maybe 0.38 whip per game, okay? Now they pitch five innings, right? So that's walks, hits per inning. So if you multiply by five times 0.38, you come out with 1.5 something. So that means, right, I look at, once again, I look and go, okay, the number 40 pitcher had a whip that was only basically recognized that he gave up one and a half or two more hits or walk per game.
Correct.
Which is five innings, six, right? Versus the number one ERA. So I'm going, you know what? As a pitcher, I'm going, it's not so much how many runners you put on the base. It's kind of what you do when the runners are on the base, right? So once again, in the context of statistics, I think that when you look at any fact or any statistics, and this is any issue we deal with today, that you can make a story, you can out of any statistic if you want to, but is that a story that really tells the whole story? Or is it just one piece of the puzzle that together with the other pieces of the puzzle really tells the entire story about a pitcher's value? And I think from an analytical standpoint, when any writer or any expert only relies on one particular stat, I hate to be blunt, but my reaction is they really don't know that much about pitching.
Jim, let's talk real briefly about Tommy John surgeries. They've almost seemed to become routine. It seems every pitcher will have this procedure at some point, even like at the youth level now. You've analyzed over 550 players at every level. Do you see a common denominator in those throwing motions for those who will eventually undergo Tommy John surgery?
Yes. I've also seen a common denominator for pitchers who've had shoulder injuries. But as far as Tommy John surgery, that was kind of what initiated my thought process because I was seeing on the younger level. And the statement that people have made that I hear all the time, that there's not a cookie cutter approach to pitching, there's not one size fits all, I disagree with because of the motions I've evaluated, 550, probably about 150 to 175 or Tommy John surgeries, they all throw the same way. All throw the same way. I could take some photos and just place it on top of the other, and they're identical, they're mirror images, right? So when I talk about lower half ball timing versus the quarterback or other athletes, when I look at the Tommy John surgeries and their throwing motions, okay, there's two factors. One is that DNA comes into play. And as an example, when I research these pitchers, I look at the innings that they've thrown prior to Tommy John. Well, Justin Verlander threw 2,800 innings before his Tommy John surgery. Cerevino was around 500, plus or minus. Syndergaard was 700. Kopech was 158. Buehler's had two before 660 innings. So that's where we talk about the different components. I firmly believe DNA plays into it. But with all these pitchers, and the issue I have with young pitchers that I work with, and they all look the same when they come to me, is that they've created a slingshot for their arm. Their lower body is completely rotated, and their arm is collapsed below their head, okay? So to me, that says the arm now is the engine, and it's a steering wheel. From an athletic perspective, once again, with all the athletes I've ever worked with, and all the athletes that I see in the training methods, and the terminology, they're all looking to create energy and transfer energy from the ground up, from your feet to the lower half, to the upper half, to the shoulder, to the ball, to the club, whatever the case may be. When you create this Tommy John throwing motion that I call a slingshot for the arm, you have dissipated your lower half energy before you even take the ball, which now has to travel 120 degrees to release, with no lower half energy at all to support the delivery of the baseball. That's what I think the issue is. Now, let me add.
Go ahead.
This is really important. I've said this to many people. I am not concerned how major league pitchers throw. Okay? They're all big boys. They make a lot of money. What I am concerned about and why I've been involved in this is that I don't want young pitchers, high school pitchers, to think that's the way they're supposed to throw, because that's what they see, that's what they read, that's what they hear, that's what they're being taught. That is my issue.
Well, good luck with that. That's a tough one, because I know that a lot of players like to emulate major league players. I used to do it. I used to swing like Mickey Mantle and Ted Williams and those. You can't help it. I used to like to play wiffle ball left-handed. It was more fun to me that way. Have a question about Shohei Ohtani. He's gone through two surgeries already. He's not going to pitch this year. What do you see?
I wrote the Angels 2.5 years ago. And Joe Maddon is a good friend of mine. And I did not involve him because I didn't want to put him in position. But I wrote the Angels. That was part of my cottage industry. And I said, here's the issue. And this ties into my previous comment. Every Tommy John surgery that I've evaluated, nobody has made any adjustments in their throwing motion. So that tells me, as a layman, okay, outside of Major League Baseball, that they see this and they ignore it. They think it's inconsequential. It has nothing, how they throw and their lack of lower half energy has nothing to do with the Tommy John surgery, or they don't see it. And to me, that's incomprehensible, because I get these photos off of videos and the internet search. They have motion capture film. So I don't know the answer to that. I'd be curious to find out what it is. But as far as Shohei Ohtani, right? When I wrote the Angels 2 years ago, I sent a breakdown of their motion. I showed them photos of 40 to 50 other pitchers who had Tommy John surgery that were identical. Their throwing motions and their, more importantly, their phase movement motions, how they went to the plate, where the ball was, when their front foot lands, et cetera, was exactly identical to Ohtani. And I said, he's going to be in trouble. He's going to have another serious injury, right? So this is not about me being clairvoyant, okay? This is about me not understanding how the professionals who have all this equipment, all this motion capture, supposedly all this expertise, coupled with the hundreds of millions of dollars they're spending on pitchers, just from a curiosity standpoint, I don't understand why they don't see this, how they don't see this, and why there are not corrections that are made in the offseason. I understand the middle of the season is not going to happen. I also understand the egos of anybody who's gotten to that level. I mean, I certainly can appreciate that, where you say, hey, I've been doing this, okay? I've been successful. But my question is then, after you've been injured and you're out for a year and a half, there's nobody that has come up to you and said, we have to take a look at this. I think this is part of the reason, a significant part of the reason why you got injured. And more than likely, if you don't change, why you're going to get injured again.
Thanks, Jim, for that. We're going to be right back after this commercial break to finish up with Jim Kernel. Thanks for being with us.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924 Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com. How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
And we are back. We'll see about that. Mike Airy sitting in for Ron Say, out on assignment, joined by producer Corey. Make sure to check out the website, theronsayshow.com. That's theronsayshow.com for merchandise, for podcast episodes, for to order Penguin Power, Ron Say's fantastic book. And for all things Ron Say, check out TheRonSayShow.com. So, Corey, I have to brag a little bit. So we talked recently, I think 2 weeks ago, you and I, about Caitlin Clark's pending Nike deal, where it was at first announced as an eight-figure deal, correct? Mm-hmm. And you were like, yeah, she probably get $10, $11 million. $28
million. $28 million.
8 years for $28 million. And some people out there are saying, actually, that's not enough. That's the amount of people she's going to bring into Nike's fold, specifically female athletes, and just, you know, how much of a cultural icon she's become. This is actually really good business for Nike and perhaps a bargain deal. What are your thoughts?
I agree. She's going to bring a whole new generation. She already started doing it in college, and now they're going to bring more attention to the WNBA. And she has her own shoe line now. And I've never had other women had their own shoes with Nike before. I don't know, but. It's going to bring a lot more girls to the sport, and it's a great thing for sports, I think.
I think so, too. I think it's actually a great cultural moment. You know, we've had these past couple months with Caitlin Clark and just, you know, how people are really enjoying watching female sports in general. It seems, you know, before there's a lot of misogyny involved. Oh, the girls can't play, blah, 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 blah. But it's, you know, the sports are different, of course. You know, you're going to have different levels of athleticism, but it's still a fantastic game to watch, women's basketball and other women's sports in general.
Yeah, definitely. March Madness, the women's teams outdid the
outrated,
men's teams.
Many times they did outrate in terms of television ratings. All right, real fast, we got a minute before we hit the close here, Corey. By the time that you're listening to this out there, listeners, most likely the Lakers will have been swept. they're of course facing the violent hated Denver Nuggets, and they actually got great leads
in both games. It was like 12 and 20,
and then they pretty much blew it, and Denver came back to win first those two games. As always, everybody says, you know, it's not a real series until someone wins on the road, but as I see it now, the Denver Nuggets, once again, I mean, going into this series, they're I believe 9-0 against the Lakers, and they've crushed their spirit. And as much as LeBron James is doing great offensively, his defense, especially his on-ball defense, not great. So if by the time you are listening to this, the Lakers are still in the playoffs, hey, all right, awesome. But folks, I doubt it. But I guess as Ron says, we'll see about that. See you guys next week here. We'll see about that. Ron Say Show.